Getting dirty today on the Ultimate Ground Rules.
But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Ultimate Ground Rules, a podcast built specifically to encourage, empower, and strengthen the faith of coaches as they live out their God-given purpose to develop the next generation of leaders. And now, your host, Dave Pritchard.
Hello and welcome to the Ultimate Ground Rules. I am your host, Dave Pritchard. And as always, this podcast is specifically designed to offer encouragement to coaches. Today, I want to challenge you to share this podcast with another coach that you know. Coaching is hard and is only getting harder. We know that coaching is hard, and we don't want this message to end with you. We want it to be shared through you. A few ways you can do that: simply tell somebody, or give us a shout out on social media, or even like, share, subscribe, and review the show on your podcast provider of choice. Through each of those, we can reach more coaches and players. Today, we're taking a brief look at the idea of getting dirty. On the outset, that may seem a bit strange. In the Christian life, we often think of trying to stay clean, pure, and holy. But today, I'm going to make the argument that as coaches, we need to get dirty. Think about your players. I know we have a good-sized group of baseball coaches that listen to the show, so let's use a baseball player as an example. Any good coach wants his players to get dirty. By that, I mean hustling things out, diving after balls, sliding into bags in whatever way necessary to be safe or score a run. At the end of the game, if a player has a perfectly clean uniform, you can make the argument that he hasn't done much. That's the opposite of what you want. You want a guy that's willing to do whatever it takes and make any necessary sacrifice to get the job done. You want a player that is willing to get dirty. I wholeheartedly think that a good coach that desires to have an impact on his players has to get dirty as well. But this might be a different kind of dirty than you're thinking about. To find an example of getting dirty, a model, so to speak, we don't have to look any further than Jesus himself. Maybe you're thinking, I've lost my mind. Jesus was a perfect man who lived a sinless life. How dare you call him dirty? Hang with me and hear me out. I think he provides us with the perfect example of how to get dirty, of the steps that we must be willing to take if we really want to have an impact on our players. To find this example, we turn to John 13, verses 1 through 16. This is a large portion of Scripture, but I think it's important that we hear it all. So here we go. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." I want you to notice four things in this passage. First, in verse 3, we're told that God the Father had given all things into Jesus' hands. In other words, he had all authority. To make a simple point, he was in complete control, and yet he was washing the disciples' feet. This was a task that was below him, and he didn't have to do it, or even need to do it. The second thing is this, in verses 6 and 7, we're told that Peter didn't understand why Jesus was doing this. It didn't make any sense to him. Jesus affirmed this and said, "Just wait, shortly you will understand." Next, in verse 8, Peter rebukes Jesus and says, "You're not going to wash my feet." Peter recognized that this was an action that was beneath Jesus, and he didn't like the fact that Jesus was going to do it, so he tried to refuse. But Jesus let Peter know that if he did refuse, he had no share with him. And lastly, we get to the why of this story in verses 14 through 16. Jesus tells them, "If I am your Lord," think about Lord, that's a word that we can simply replace with master. So Jesus tells them, "If I am your master, if I am in charge of you and yet I am washing your feet, then you should also do as I have just done to you." Jesus doubles down on his point by going on to say that a servant is no better than his master. In verse 17, Jesus tells us that blessed are those that do them, do the things that he has taught. I think it would be a fair paraphrase for us to say, blessed are those that are willing to get dirty on my behalf. Jesus was willing to do things that were considered dirty, below him, things that he was not required to do, but he saw as vital to his role as a servant. Coaches, the truth is that you are a servant too. If you truly want to have an impact on your players, you have to serve them. A lot of the time, that may include doing things that you view as beneath you, but trust me, if you get dirty with them, you'll see a reward. Remember, Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who do these things." You can start simple. If your team is picking up after a practice or a game, pick up with them. If they're cleaning the locker room, clean with them. At the end of the day, whatever it may be, I want to strongly suggest to you that you should never ask anything of your team that you are not willing to do yourself. As followers of Christ, we are called to model him. And this is the way he lived, serving his own. So be encouraged today, coach. You have a great opportunity every day that you lead your team. But never be too proud or too afraid to get dirty with them. Thanks again for joining us on the show today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast so we can reach as many coaches as possible with a word of encouragement. Never forget, your job is important. God loves you, and he has a plan for you. Continue to build tomorrow's leaders and stand firm in the faith.